Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this second edition of Beyond Winning. This is a program where we talk to local coaches in the area, and we're talking about not only the game of basketball, but really beyond basketball and those lessons that the coaches try to impart on the young people, on the game, and ultimately it impacts the community. And so this afternoon, we had the pleasure of having with us Coach Maurice Jones, current head coach at Philip O'Berry Academy. I've known Coach Jones over a couple of years now because he coached my son there at Berry. Yep. And, Coach Jones, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Rich. It's a pleasure right now. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. Coach, I'm going to talk a little bit about your background, and then, we can go ahead and get started. Basically, Coach Jones, he's been in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school systems, coached at South Mec, at Butler, and at West Mec. He also has some coaching experience. He was an assistant coach at the Citadel.
Right.
He got his basketball experience. He played at Anderson.
Right.
In South Carolina. And then, this was all before he came to Berry. I think he came to Berry in the season of 2012-2013.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And over that time, his teams have, played in the state tournament. They've been to the championship game of the conference in each of those 3 years. First year went down to I'm trying to think of who that was.
In the state playoffs or
in the conference tournament.
Olympic.
Lost to Olympic. And Olympic went on to win the state there.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and then the next year came back. And Jones had a pretty strong team that year.
Yeah.
They won the league.
Yep.
They won the conference tournament.
Yep.
And made it to the Sweet 16 in the state tournament.
Right.
So that was a pretty successful year that year.
Yeah, pretty good that year.
But like I said, this program is about beyond winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's about it's about beyond the X's and O's.
Right.
So let's first of all talk about what is your coaching philosophy.
That's a really really good question. First and foremost, when you actually think about a philosophy, my philosophy that's kind of a loaded question because it changes from year to year. You won't be able to grow as a coach. And first and foremost, you won't be able to grow as a person if your philosophy doesn't change. But at the base of it, if I could put one word to it, it's adaptability. Being able to adapt to culture, being able to adapt to kids, being able to adapt, across the board just to the overall game and ins and outs of the game of basketball.
Yeah. And when you approach each season, what are you trying to accomplish? Obviously, you want to go as far as you right. as you can go. The winning the league, winning a conference right. tournament, going as deep as you can yeah. in the state tournament.
Right.
But is there something else? Because each year is different, right?
Right. You're exactly right. Basically, when I go into every year, I approach every year from I start from top to bottom myself to. Kids that actually make a team, stripping them down to as if they never played basketball before. So if I were to put that philosophy into one word, it would be just bare bones, just fundamentals, and trying to expound on every facet of the game and build on every facet of a game as if you were never taught the game before at all. And if you go into every season trying to learn, trying to just soak up every bit of knowledge about the game as possible, I think you can halfway start to get successful with some real strong building blocks.
Mm-hmm. Build on that a little bit. Build on maybe there's a team or a player where you started out
right.
and you had maybe one idea of how right. it was going to go. or what you wanted in part, but maybe maybe it went a different direction, and maybe it went in a better direction than what you thought it would.
And it's funny as you said that, I don't want to take the most successful year. I'll just start with the first year coming into Philip O'Berry, just trying to Philip O'Berry already having some success, kind of getting to a certain level, but me just coming in trying to take it to a different level, and starting with the mantra, and those guys pretty much just kind of. You know, they held on to that mantra as far as protecting a brand. And when you talk about protecting a brand, that mantra is just like you said, kind of in the show, it's bigger than basketball. So when I say protect the brand, I mean across the board, in the classroom, in the lunchroom, in the hallways, just protecting what any and everything that's fundamentally right and how you carry yourself and how kids are supposed to, you know, just – in every situation, think that every, you know, decision they make will affect something or somebody in a negative or a positive way, and kind of embracing that. But that first year, those guys held on to that philosophy, and once they kind of, you know, understood wholly what it meant and what I meant by it and tried to impart to them what it was, by that second year, we started to see some success. So it took a year, you know, it took a year for the guys to learn and understand me and what I meant, but at the end of the day, it was just what majority of my kids were taught all day, you know, every day at home, every day in the classroom. Is just, I was just trying to uphold it in an arena that is typically not upheld.
Well, tell what does a Coach Maurice Jones player look like? How does he project himself?
I guess I look at it as if, and I don't, you know, use many examples to my kids about, you know, how I played and how I was in high school or in college, but I guess the thing that I hung my hat on the most and try to impart on them the most is just IQ, being an extremely intelligent basketball player. You see a lot of times, and you know, I have different feelings about a lot of social you know, things as far as a lot of kids that I coach. A lot of those misconceptions are, but I mean, from the simple fact of understanding that, yeah, you may be able to run, jump, and be an athlete, but at the end of the day, if you can't think the game of basketball, you pretty much kind of fall into that stereotype, and that's what I try to fight. the biggest thing I try to fight, and you know, try to push that misconception aside, and have my kids play at a high level, along with being athletic and being able to do some things, you know, with the basketball.
You mentioned a couple of things in that answer. The high IQ. Mm-hmm. Okay, so really, you know, I kind of take that to mean that's another way of saying you got to get in the books.
You
really got to study. It's not just about that physical brute strength.
Right.
It's about, you know, you got to crack a book. And you got to do something.
Exactly.
But you also mentioned the parent. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's one. I think that's one thing that what we're hoping is that, you know, maybe a parent is listening to this program and can, because there's a role for the coach and there's a role for the parent. You, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and we could do a whole show. but you know, from your perspective, mm-hmm. okay, and here it is. I mean, you were the coach.
Right.
I was the parent.
Right.
You know, we went through the process, so to speak.
Right.
Sometimes I probably was a good parent,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I probably wasn't a good parent. You
right.
know, but from your idea, what does that relationship look like?
And I'm not, you know, just to give you a little background, even when I first got the job, one of the first parents I met, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, I believe it was you. Between you and Derek Murray, you were the first two parents that I met. And don't get mm-hmm. me wrong, you know, the coach-parent relationship, that line, that misconception is always whatever. But I've always, you know, to a certain extent, had an open conversation policy with parents, except for playing time. I would talk about them anything under the sun but playing time. Luckily, you know, yourself and Mr. Murray never really crossed that line.
Well, and that might be because, right. we were both coaches.
Right.
We are both coaches.
There you go.
We get to it as fathers, right, like a lot of coaches do.
There you go.
I call myself a daddy coach.
There you go.
But nevertheless, I think that was that element in there.
But even coming to that, me being a younger guy, I think I was 31, 32 when I got that job. And even, you guys were elder statesmen, so you kind of, I felt you and I saw you, and not from an, I felt intimidated, but it was almost like, looking at two older guys who reminded me of old school, as almost as my father, almost coaching those guys, kind of wanted to make the same sentiment I wanted to kind of make my dad proud. Watching y'all, seeing y'all sit in the stands and kind of support me, kind of gave me that extra push. So, I mean, that line was kind of funny, but I mean, I don't even think I ever told you this before, but I mean, it was almost like, at times, I would glance at you and Mr. Murray and be like, when I saw a certain look on your face, I'm like, okay, I gotta tighten up a little bit, or, kind of look over, but that line, I mean, now granted, every year it gets, a little different, you got to kind of adapt a little bit, but at the same time, I mean, once a parent knows that you have their child's best interest in mind, I think that kind of dispels every, and you will, I mean, every once in a while you're going to have a parent that's just, they just kind of think a little different. But at the same time, I mean, once you have their kid's genuine interest in mind, I mean, that kind of dispels that whole deal.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I mean, it's interesting you raise that point. I mean, as a parent, or really the relationship, I looked at it almost like a co-working relationship, mm-hmm. And I think maybe because I was the elder, I never looked at it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, I think you have to recognize that. But, you mentioned again, and this is one of the things I hope that comes across in the program is that there's an interplay, and that relationship can contribute to player development.
Yep.
And then it can take away from player development.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing that always, and I think having a little bit of that background, my idea was, my son was in your hands because you had knowledge that I didn't have.
Gotcha.
Even though I coached.
Right.
I went as far as I knew mm-hmm. I could go. But talk about, you've seen a lot of parents over the years.
Right.
Okay. So tell me where they get it right, and then tell me where they don't get it right.
That's kind of a fine line too. But I think you hit the nail on the head as far as, because I read an article maybe a couple weeks ago, and a baseball dad wrote an article about, every parent should, about every parent who coaches their son or daughter. But you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said you took them as far as you thought you could take them. Now, that's too, like that, for one, that takes humility for a parent to say, okay, I need to kind of put my son or daughter in this other person, other coach's hands to kind of take him to where my child ultimately wants to be, or kind of expound on a skill that I want to see them develop. But a lot of times parents get it wrong in that sense. And I mean, and I can't say it, and once again, that's a loaded question, because I don't think it's a right, wrong, or indifferent, because at the end of the day, I mean, I look at that question you just asked me, because I have three kids now. I have a daughter who played varsity as a freshman this year, and I kind of wrestle with that parent that parent player, parent daughter, because I'm a coach and she's in a realm or in an arena that I kind of excel in, or I kind of been doing for an extended period of time. So as far as getting it wrong, that would be kind of being extremely overbearing and just kind of, bad mouthing a coach and doing things that undermine the development of a young student athlete. Those are the biggest things I say parents get wrong. And what I say by right, wrong, or indifferent, a lot of times parents don't even know that they're doing that. And that, I guess that's the biggest problem, like just kind of stepping back and seeing the whole situation from removing the parent title from the whole thing. I think that's the hardest part of the whole situation.
I got you. And when I'm talking about, you know, taking it, you know, being able to put that player in your hands, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the talent.
Right.
I'm not talking about the game.
Right.
I mean, sometimes our kids need to be leaned on, mm-hmm. you know, in an environment that, you know, you're going to give them that tough medicine.
There you go.
You know, you're not going to hurt them,
mm-hmm.
but you're gonna make sure that they know, hey, you know, yeah. this is, you know, you got to stand up on your, you got to stand up.
Right.
Mommy's not here. Daddy's not here. And oh, by the way, I'm going to let daddy know that I was there.
There you go.
You know.
There you go.
And then, you know, that has to be reinforced,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've learned this from experience. Sometimes I can say today is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And my player hears it one way, and you say today is Saturday, and they like, oh yeah, I get it, coach.
Right, and I from, and I guess, and that's the whole different voice thing. You know, a parent saying it one way, and then them hearing it from somebody else, that voice can, like you said, just mean something totally different. But just to kind of go back to what you were saying, as far as like, you putting your son or daughter, I've coached, you know, boys basketball for an extended period of time, and I think I've told you this before in other conversations, that the last 6 years at Philip O'Berry, and I'll preface this, you know, this little tidbit by saying this, at Philip O'Berry the last 6 years, I've only coached minority kids. I've only coached African-American young men.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, by, you know, moms and dads kind of putting their sons in my hands, I kind of, you know, I take that with pride, wanting them to understand that
you honoring the trust.
There you go. And let them know, like, it's not going to be easy, and it's always a rhyme or reason to things I do. Am I a little bit harder on the guys that I coach? Yeah, I am, just because of, once again, when you say beyond basketball, they're already going to have to fight an uphill battle,
right?
Just across the board. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if, you know, you want to make them as mentally tough as possible before they go out into the world. I'm not even talking about, this is not even has anything to do with basketball. I care less about basketball.
This is beyond basketball.
There you go. 50% of the time that I deal with them is we're just in the office just talking about life. We're talking about things. We're talking about music. We're talking about clothes. We're talking about girls. We're talking about any and everything under the sun but basketball. So a lot of things that we talk about, or I try to reiterate or laugh and joke and, you know, inject the, you know, some jewels every once in a while. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, trying to impart on them that, like you said, it's bigger than basketball, and they have a responsibility to be, you know, productive young men, regardless of if it's basketball or not.
Well, now we digging taters.
There
I mean,
go.
You getting to where I wanted to go. Let me switch it up on you.
Okay.
We usually kind of interject a little question that kind of goes totally in a whole different direction. So.
Okay.
Describe your style. Is it jazz? Is it old school R&B? Is it hip hop?
It's a lot of layers to that question. I grew up South Carolina, low country. So, I mean, my parents are old school. So it was all 70s funk and soul. I'm talking about Mandrill, Average White Band. I mean, every album that you can think of that was out during that time, I've heard. So, and on top of that, I was in band. My dad played in all the 70s funk bands back in the day. So, when you talk about musicality and the rhythm, that's a huge part of what I do and how I think I coach. One of my favorite albums of all time is, and this might strike you by surprise, it's Kind of Blue by Miles Davis.
This is what's up,
there
people.
You
know, Kind of Blue. If you don't know,
you
I talked about it in the intro, mm-hmm. Miles.
Yeah,
you know that's what's up.
There you go.
But go ahead, coach.
There you go. From him being like, from his improvisation, just being able to, you know, to from that album from top to bottom. I mean, from, you know, him doing improv, him going off on slow, fast, whatever you want, he had it. But I think he did it more so at the drop of a dime, because, I mean, if you were to, it's that being synonymous to the arena that we're, that I'm in. I mean, we up three with 3 seconds to go. Somebody hits a three. We get a turnover. They get a steal. Boom! I call timeout. Now it's improv time. Now we got to adjust and we got to do something different now. But
so that's what you was doing.
Okay. The whole time I'm going, I'm listening to Miles Davis in my head.
Okay, I got you. That's right.
But at the end of the day, like, and my kids say this all the time, like when we're doing shooting drills and we're doing like whole team stuff. Like, I actually play music over the loudspeaker, because basketball is rhythm. That's all it is. How five guys move on the court on offense and defense, pretty much is what it is. It's jazz just with people moving around with a basketball. That's all it is.
All right. Okay, Coach. Well, now you led me to another thought here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Nike, as you know, has these 11 guiding principles.
Right.
Okay. But one of them that stood out to me was, we're on offense.
Okay.
Always.
All right.
All right, that's one. But I want to get your thoughts on this. Defense is offense.
Right.
Talk about that.
Now, when you talk about defense being offense, I mean, like, now you're talking about just in basketball? Or are you talking about as a whole?
I'm talking to you.
I mean, that, my thing is like that mantra. That saying in basketball, let me tell you about any sport, it's always going to hold true. Defense is offense. Because I mean, if you can't defend, if you can't, you know, adjust and fight over screen and chase a guy off a stagger and be able to stop that guy and get a rebound and get the ball back and go on the other end. I mean, you really, you know, there's no reason to be playing. But if you look at it, you know, once again, if you kind of flip the script and synonymous with basketball being as far as life's concerned, like it, being on defense and being able to handle situations, whatever that situation is, with my kids, if the teachers kind of own you all day, your parents, you know, grounded you, took your cell phone from you, and, you know, it's whatever's going on in your head, like, when you come to practice or when you come to wherever that thing is that you have to go to perform, like, you have to be able to control an environment and be able to calm yourself and ultimately get a stop and get on offense so you can thrive.
I got you. I would even also the aggressive nature,
right.
You know, that's expressed itself in the press.
There you go.
The press is really about, you know, you hear cats. I don't necessarily like this term.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little negative connotation, you know, but we want to turn them over.
There you go.
Know, well, you know, I'm like, you know, we, you know how it is when you mm-hmm. got them cats that's out there and they, you know, and them cats is intimidating and they all up in it and they just making the guy give it up because mm-hmm. they imposing that out there.
Right.
That's, you know, that's the defense's offense thought that I had.
Right. You know? Yeah. I guess.
Let me ask. I'm gonna ask one more, and then we're gonna kind of, you know, wrap it up here.
Okay.
And this one it might even be a two-part thing. So, Coach, there's a thought going around about, is high school basketball relevant?
Ooh.
And that's I think that's being put out there by certain AAU programs,
right.
and the, you know, all we're in that time of year, you know, where we're getting close to it, April, where there's the open look period of colleges.
Yep.
You know, April and July are big months,
mm-hmm.
so they have all these big tournaments that are around there. But talk about that, you know, the high school game and the relevancy.
And I think I read an article on it for the first time maybe like a year and a half ago. And, you know, me and some buddies had discussions about it. And first and foremost, like, I have issues with AAU. I mean, I don't ever make bones about it. I kind of let people know. But at the same time, I respect some AAU programs, the ones that's been around for a while. Because you got to think, when I first came to Charlotte, it probably was three AAU organizations at the most.
Yeah.
Now I don't even think that there's a number four. Like, you can't even count, like, if you ask every kid at a school who probably doesn't even play high school basketball, they'll tell you, I play AAU as well.
Yeah.
So I mean,
We're gonna have on the program, you know, some of the coaches that were part of that first three.
Okay. But those are the guys who had the best of the best, the cream of the crop, and kids had to fight and claw to play for those guys.
Right.
And I mean, at the end of the day, that means something. So when you start talking about, you know, having quality and not quantity, like, everybody doesn't get a trophy. Yeah, some kids do have to get cut. Everybody can't play, you know, AAU basketball. But to kind of answer your question, is high school basketball relevant? That's kind of a laughable statement to make, given the fact of high school basketball is what is training kids for the next level. When you talk about schemes on the offensive and defensive end, when you talk about scouting reports, when you talk about just playing for a purpose, playing for something that actually means something. And I know every AAU team plays a state championship and a national championship, but I think I heard a couple weeks ago, like seven or eight kids said last week they played for a state championship. And I'm like, how many state championship games can go on in one weekend? So, but that goes back to the quantity and not quality. But as much work as high school coaches, quality high school coaches put into it, and because the majority of them do, that is the mirror image of how those kids are going to be trained and taught and scrutinized in college. I try to hold Philip O'Berry standard to that, because I've been there, I've coached there, I've played there, and that's all I know. So it's no other reason or way for me to, you know, kind of train those guys. Some of the best compliments I ever get, I could care less about accolades, wins, losses, as far as I'm concerned, because it's about the kids. But Devarius Christian, when he went to Wingate, he's a senior there now.
D.C. D.C. Okay, yeah.
His college coach called me the first day after after workout started, and, you know, practice started. D.C. was the only kid, only post in that program that understood how to defend ball screens, how to play out of the high post, how to guard the post, how to pass the basketball, how to find the open man, how to space the floor. And it goes back to, I could care less about coach. You're doing, you know, you're the best coach. I could care less about that. Like that, like somebody telling me that I got that kid that ready to where he can excel at that level this early, that fast. Like, that means way more than any. I could have been 0-1, you know, not won a game at Philip O'Berry, but that pretty much sealed the deal for me of why I do what I do.
I got you. Coach, I appreciate it, man. This has been great. You know, you covered a lot of ground.
As always.
You know, like I saw you in action, you know, you brought that game here today. And appreciate you being on the program.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me. We can go on for another hour if you want to, man.
Yeah, that means I'm gonna have to bring you back. Yeah, everybody, this has been you know, Coach Maurice Jones from Philip O'Berry Academy and Richard Lancaster, and this program is Beyond Winning. So until we have the next time, and I hope you pick us up in the various formats, please send your thoughts in. You know, if you got some ideas, tell us where we, you know, might have caught your interest. Tell us where we might have put you to sleep. But just tell us. So for this time, we're signing out. Stay aware and stay on it and stay with it. Take care.